The Republican proposal in the House will not include funding for President Trump's border wall with Mexico. Is President Trump willing to sign a government spending bill that does not include that money?
Yeah, because I think the bill, at least the offer that we received from the Democrats the last couple of days, included a good bit of money for border security.
The wall's going to get built, folks. Just in case anybody has any question, the wall's going to get built, and the wall is going to stop drugs, and it's going to stop a lot of people from coming in that shouldn't be here.
He was very adamant about that after all these stories broke that no tenemos dinero para la pared. Yes, I speak Spanish. Don't press me on the Spanish. So you don't have the money for the wall. And you know what's amazing is I remember that paredes is a female noun. La pared. I'm pretty sure. Check that out, James. I'm pretty sure my memory serves me correct. I don't know why I remember languages, and I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but this early signs of dementia, I just try to deal with it. Joining us now, I'm delighted she's with us, Ronna Romney McDaniel. She's the chairwoman of the RNC as we are set to mark this 100-day celebration, commemoration. 100 days flew by, though. Went by fast in the Trump administration. She joins us now. Ronna, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the wall, because it was a little confusing yesterday. Mick Mulvaney, the head of the Office of Management and Budget, told Jake Tapper that, well, we agreed to this, the beginning of this negotiation on the budget with the Democrats with no wall funding, but the president comes out yesterday and says it's going to be a wall. So what is the RNC doing specifically to push the Trump agenda and help it get traction in Congress?
Well, I think part of it's communicating to our lawmakers what we're seeing on the ground. And I'm from Michigan. I was part of the Trump movement as a Michigan chair, and I know that our voters are going to hold us accountable in 2018 if we do not keep the campaign promises that were made. And so when you get to Washington, sometimes you forget what was said outside, and it's important that we bring that back to Washington and let them hear what the voters expect of this government and of the president.
Yeah, so especially, I think more than anything else, Ronna, that wall was, that promise is just something that's not something there's a lot of wiggle room on, or anyone wiggle room, because it became the mainstay of his rallies, the ones I attended, of course, the ones every single rally. There wasn't a rally where he spoke where he didn't talk about this wall is going to get built, and of course, then he added Mexico's going to pay for it. The crowd started chanting, and that thing doesn't get built for whatever reason, and I can see the campaign commercials already being cut. So then comes the problem, how's the wall going to get paid for if we have members of Congress who behind closed doors, and I know this for a fact, are laughing about the idea of a wall getting built? How do we convince them to do the right thing on this?
Well, they're going to lose the trust of our base. If we don't keep our promises, our base is going to walk away. And they're going to feel like, hey, you said one thing on the campaign trail to get elected, and then you didn't act on it. And right now, the base is very happy with the president. He's
right.
Taking decisive action on trade. I mean, you saw yesterday or the day before when they're talking about Canada and some of the unfair things they've been doing with NAFTA, TPP. You've seen jobs coming back. You've seen our national security standing rise in this country. I mean, action after action that the president talked about on the campaign trail, he has enacted in just 100 days. But certainly, this was a front and center in his campaign, and our voters are going to expect us to act on it.
And how are fundraising efforts thus far for the RNC post-Trump? I remember hearing last year that if Trump were the nominee, this was during the primary season, and it's only fresh in my mind because I'm writing about it right now, but all these commentators, all these Republican bigwigs, it might have even been Mitt Romney is one of them, saying if Trump gets elected, it'll be the beginning of the end of the Republican Party as we know it. We're going to see fundraising drop. We're going to see big money going into campaigns dry up. And they were basically predicting Armageddon for the RNC. So what can you report to us today about fundraising?
So we have broken every record at the RNC in a post-presidential election quarter. So this first quarter, we doubled what Obama did. We have $41 million cash on hand, 250,000 small donors that we've added since January. The president is popular, and the RNC is raising money because of the action he's taking, and voters are very pleased.
So the response to all of the naysayers last year is then what? Who predicted this demise?
They were really, really wrong.
No, they were. I mean, it's just funny to go back and listen to some of the comments. I mean, it was. I mean, I'm just doing it now again because I'm writing about it. It's amazing how you kind of just put it out of your mind. But I'd say when you look at the percentages, Rana, it's probably 80% of Republicans. I'm not even talking about predicting Trump is going to win, but I'm talking about just saying if he's the nominee, it's going to be horrible for the party. But he's a negative person. He's not well liked. But I think the more that we see, you know, even with the concerns that people have about health care and all that, which, you know, they have real concerns, I think people are pretty optimistic. And I think it's early, and we're going to see a lot more in the next the next several months before we close out this year of real progress on the things that he said he was going to focus on. I just see it. I'm very positive.
I'm very positive, too. And, Laura, I travel the country, and this week alone I'll be in 5 different states and 8 different cities. I'm seeing it across the country. And the one thing I will say is people who did sit out on the sidelines and had those concerns about President Trump and potentially the party going under are coming back, and they are supporting the party, and they're saying, you know what, we were wrong, and he is doing good things. And they look at Neil Gorsuch, and they look at the deregulation and all the good things and the consumer confidence up and the stock market, and they're saying, we're coming behind President Trump. So we're happy to welcome them back in, and we're thrilled with what's happened in the first 100 days. And look at what the Democrats have done in the first 100 days. Zip.
No.
Obstruction and nothing. And I will say, the hypocrisy in how the Democrats are treated, because if Republicans were doing the same thing, if they were sitting on their hands and essentially striking on the taxpayer dime for the first 100 days, the media would be going nuts. And talking about them being obstructionists. And now we're seeing the Democrats do that with President Trump.
We're talking to the chairwoman of the RNC, Ronna Romney McDaniel, here on the Laura Ingraham Show. This was one of your favorites, Ron. I know you guys text late into the night. Elizabeth Warren, senator from the great state of Massachusetts, on Jake Tapper yesterday. Let's listen.
The real question now for me is not the woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's what we're going to do now. It's partly about his not following through on his promises, but it's that he's actually making a difference. And the difference he's making is he's making it harder and harder on working families.
They're trying to make a populist pitch to the voters in middle America now because they got creamed so badly by Trump in the old Rust Belt, Rana. Do you see that as a potential threat to the Republicans, the populist appeal, if Donald Trump doesn't really get some forward traction on the populist issues of immigration and trade, especially?
As I've said, we have to make good on our campaign promises, and the president's already hit the ground running on that. And the Democrat Party, make no mistake, is the coastal elite redistributionist party of the status quo. That is who they are. They are a coastal elite party. They have stopped representing the Rust Belt states like my state of Michigan. We didn't see Hillary Clinton there. Now they're starting to show up. But they're still sitting on their hands when it comes to trade deals, when it comes to getting more jobs and improving the economy. And they're not even applauding what the president has done. And voters in my state are very pleased with what the president has done so far to make their lives better, get jobs, improve their wages, increase our military spending and our defense, and then focus on fair trade. And immigration is going to be part of that, too.
Priebus used to tell me that he would occasionally look at the pile of correspondence, Rana, that was coming back in from mail, old snail mail appeals. Excuse my voice, by the way. I have a terrible congestion. So he would say he'd pop in and look at some of the notes, and there would always be a dominant theme. And back, I'm talking, you know, several years ago, it was, you know, you know, when are you going to, you know, no, stop the amnesty, immigration amnesty. That was a big one. It just, there tends to be themes and consistencies to the comments people are making. Is there any such consistency that you're seeing in the comments, a lot of the written comments made on the return envelopes coming in?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of the comments come back about repealing, replacing health care. Or the Obamacare, not healthcare, Obamacare. We've seen a lot of our supporters write back on those direct mail pieces. We need to repeal and replace Obamacare.
Would you say that's the number one priority for people? And the wall?
That's the number one thing that we're seeing. And I think part of it's because we had the ACHA and that was at the forefront, I think, of this administration. But the voters want to see it. And I'll tell you what, they're hurting. People are very are hurting under Obamacare. Their premiums are going up. You're going to see the first city in 2018, Knoxville, Tennessee, that potentially will have no insurance choice. It is a catastrophe what is happening to the American people right now. And they're looking for help and relief. And our party is the only party that's even focusing on it. The Democrats have walked away. But we're going to have to find that for them.
So you think if you had to rank the issues, that would be the number one issue on the return correspondence, the return envelopes. That's the number one issue.
That would be the number one issue we're seeing.
Fascinating. And so the pressure that can be brought to bear on Congress to do something on this, get it done, a real repeal, and work with the administration to get this thing done has to be felt, correct? I mean, it has to be phone calls, it has to be everything, email, whatever.
Yeah, we have to, and it's about the people, and that's what our party has to be. We have to put people above politics. And I go home to Michigan, and every time I go home, I talk to somebody, and I ask how they're doing. Yeah. They don't know I'm the RNC chair. I'll just be going to the grocery store. And they talk about what Obamacare has done to their lives. It has really put pressure
so
on
expensive.
Families who are, I mean, premiums doubling and deductibles so high. Laura, it's not health care. Health insurance is not health care.
No.
So having a deductible of $10,000 is not health care. That's people afraid to go get health care. And that's what we have in this country. And so my job as RNC chair is to relay that as I travel the country to our leaders here and to the White House and let them know what I'm hearing on the ground. And I certainly take that very seriously.
Oh, that's excellent. And special elections, we got a lot of different special elections out there, everywhere from Javier Becerra's seat in California to the Georgia special election with that Pajama Boy Ossoff, who's doesn't even live in his district. Montana, you got South Carolina. How active? Well, I would say this: have you asked for any appearances by the president in any of these districts, and have you gotten any positive answers? If so, from the White House.
Well, he's done robocalls and.
Not talking robocalls. I'm talking appearances, in-person appearances. I know about the robos.
Well, we might have some things in the work, but it works, but I'm not going to reveal that. That's up to the president to reveal. But certainly, he is our best energizer of our base, especially with Georgia 6 when we had a divided field of 11 candidates and the Democrats were trying to sneak it in and prevent a runoff behind this, unknown 30-year-old who didn't even live in his district. And he was a huge impact in that race in Kansas. The RNC is on the ground. We've had door knocking. We have offices. We're getting out our vote, and we're going to be doing that in Montana and South Carolina. We have to hold these seats.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take anything for granted because the Democrats feel like they were caught napping in the presidential election. They didn't see that coming, and now they feel like, oh, we better be ready. So if you could pick one district, one seat, just one seat where the president would appear, you know, fantasy that the President Trump would appear, which one would it be?
I think Georgia 6 is an important district for him to be in.
That'd be awesome.
Karen Handel would be the first Republican woman to represent Georgia.
Wow.
She's an excellent candidate. She knows the community. She lives there. That's a big bonus, I guess, considering the Democrats have nominated somebody who doesn't even live there. And she's served statewide. She's an excellent candidate. I'm going to be in Georgia on Friday campaigning with her. And we're going to be doing everything we can in these specials. Because you are right, Laura, we cannot become complacent
no
as
way.
A party.
No way.
Complacency will be our worst enemy. We won everything, but the Democrats have awoken, and they're coming back, and we have to fight just as hard.
Ronna Romney McDaniel, terrific appearance. Chairwoman of the RNC, we really appreciate your time on this and your vigilance. And stay in touch with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a break on the Laura Ingraham Show. Close out this hour. Arroyo's in the house. Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill's going to stop by. A lot more to get to.
The Laura Ingraham Show.